Good morning, Your Honors.
Brad Wortman on behalf of the plaintiff, appellant, Anna Hall. May it please the court. Your Honors, we have here a classic promotion Title VII case where we have an individual who had applied, I believe, on 19 separate formal occasions for a promotion. She was a duly licensed plumber who had basically earned her way through the system. She started off attending college. She completed 90 hours of credit hours towards a four-year degree. She went into the plumbing industry, and there she served an apprentice program of 5 years. She successfully completed that apprentice program and went on to work, I believe, for three different licensed plumbers, one a public company, the CHA, and two private plumbing companies. During that time, she also received her plumbing license, an actual license to be a plumber in the city of Chicago. She was hired by the city in, I believe, 1995, and from there, she was described by her supervisors as one of the best in the district. She received a rating by one of her supervisors, 4.8 out of a 5.0 scale. At least according to her perception, her career in the plumbing field was on track to succeed, to be promoted.
It was what?
Was on track to succeed and to be promoted. That was her envision. You can see from the numerous efforts during a very short period of time that she had ambition. She sought promotion. We were dealing with a situation, though, where the city was basically an all-male cast of characters.
Wouldn't she score the lower, though, than any of the other applicants?
Well,
the position?
With regard to the scoring system, we don't really know how they derived at that scoring mechanism. The city presents an affidavit of one of the keeper of records, which basically says, here are the applicants, here are their scores. Ms. Hall did not receive the highest score, therefore she didn't get the job. We know nothing more beyond that. We don't know the questions that were asked. We don't know the criteria that was used for her to be or not selected for the job. I believe in one instance they criticized her for having poor written skills, yet the city admits
oral skills
and written skills. They also admit in their 12M statement, though, that neither before the interview or after the interview that the decision makers actually review her personnel file. There's no evidence in the record whatsoever that they had any writing of Ms. Hall before them when they made that evaluation. I believe in this particular instance they gave her a 2.
Well, can't you and I tell that when we talk to each other if you have poor oral skills?
Oral skills, I believe we can make an assessment.
I don't think you have to go to any personnel file for that.
But, Your Honor, with regard to written skills, I do believe you have to have some writing from Ms. Hall to be able to make that assessment. Yet the city, as I stated, admitted in their 12M statement that they neither saw a personnel file before or after the interview. Again, the city presented no evidence of basically what took place during that interview. We don't know if there were any written submissions by Ms. Hall. We do know the fact that they concede that the interviewer asked a series of questions, made an assessment of those answers, and gave a rating accordingly.
Is there anything in this record that you can point out to us that would substantiate what she says, that she was more qualified than the other applicants?
We do believe so, Your Honor.
In this record.
With regard to her experience, as I indicated, her experience with regard, this is a licensed plumber, not just a certified apprentice plumber. We have an individual who I believe her testimony, and again, it's in her deposition transcript, page 130 forward. She talks about how the fact that during her apprentice training, from December of 1988 through December of 1993.
Counsel, your answer is not responsive.
Who is this saying? I said, is there anything in this record beyond what Hall says?
Well, we do have the assessments of her supervisor, where she, with regard to an independent witness other than Ms.
That
Hall.
She is an independent.
I understand that.
Is there anything in this record that to establish that she is more qualified than the
other than her background
applicants
and her own testimony? I don't believe she had witnesses like supervisors come forward saying that she was more qualified.
Let me phrase the question in a different way.
Certainly.
What do you think is your best evidence in this record that the city's real reason was your client's sex?
With her sex? Mm-hmm. The fact that the city, number one, has only one. She was the only female plumber employed in the district. There were only four in the entire city who were licensed plumbers.
It doesn't have anything to do with promotion.
But, Your Honor, when you see a systematic denial of promotion opportunities through a very relatively short period of time, 19 applications Each time she's denied, each time she presents to the city.
None of this has anything to do with sex. Let me ask the question in still another way.
Certainly.
What percentage of men who apply for promotion are promoted?
Well, the city, again, in their 12M statement, in some instances identifies the number of men who applied, and in some instances only identified the number of people who received the highest score. We don't certainly know from this record exactly how many men applied and how many men received it. There are instances where we do identify the fact. I believe in one instance there were four individual men who applied.
See, I could understand a claim that was based on the fact that, say, 51% of men who apply receive a promotion. Then it might begin to look like one is satisfying the burden, but you don't believe the record contains that evidence?
I don't. I think in some instances it identifies all the applicants. The city sometimes says that, for instance...
I'm not interested in what the city has done. Your client bears the burden of persuasion.
That is true. And I don't believe that in this particular instance, I wasn't an attorney of record when this took place at the trial level, but I don't know if she had access to the information about the number of people, and perhaps she should have gotten it from the discovery.
Could one find out from the discovery report?
I would think so, Your Honor. I will say that I don't see that in the record, and I'm not sure why it's not there. But, again, in some instances, the city does give us the benefit of doubt by identifying specifically how many people were interviewed and how many people received it. And I believe in some of those instances there were situations where Ms. Hall was the only person not selected for the position, being the only female there.
But can you see, Mr. Wortman, from the thrust of Judge Easterbrook's inquiry, that we're disadvantaged if we're unable to examine from the record what might have been able to be discovered through requests of the city as to comparative rates of promotion or applications for... Promotion?
Correct. It may not be a perfect record, Your Honor, but again, I do want to emphasize the fact that this is a motion for summary judgment that was brought. And the question that we certainly continue to harp on in our briefs is there enough evidence to create a genuine issue of material fact that the reasons for her denial are pretextual in nature? Certainly, we don't have rigorous statistics available to us to say that X, Y, and Z points to discrimination. But
for example, you mentioned the 19 opportunities or attempts to seek promotion. What are we to contrast that against? Is 19 a high number, low number? I mean, it is so difficult to get a read as to whether Ms. Hall's situation is a standalone situation. If we can't get some comparative basis on
certainly, but
record.
But I do think that within the short period of time that we're talking about, we're talking about 19 positions, but that's over a 20-year period, I would say it's difficult to compare. But here we're really only talking about between 1995 and the time that this lawsuit was filed in 1998.
For example, if she applied for every one, it'd be interesting to know if everyone applied for everyone. In other words, if every non-supervisor plumber in effect applied. I mean, that's why the 19 may be a critical number, but as against what? I mean, is she applying more often and being rejected consistently as contrasted to others? That's
correct.
That's what seems to be haunting this record.
And that may in fact be a deficiency in the record, but again, when you compare the other evidence that we do point to, when we talk about 19, these are 19 formal submissions of requests.
Didn't they elevate her through three different categories, and didn't they have a hard time elevating her each time?
I believe that she had held the plumbing position throughout her employment with the city. There was
That she was in Category 1, then they advanced her to Category 2, and there was a question at that time as to whether they should advance her. And then when she was in 2, the time came up for her to be advanced to Category 3, and it was very questionable at that time, and they gave her a shot again, and she was in 3 for about a short period of time, and they said it's just an impossibility.
Well, I don't think you quite said it was an impossibility, Your Honor, but I
will. Well, no, they said we aren't going to keep you because you can't make it.
Well, that would be inconsistent with what her supervisor said to her, and two supervisors, one rating her 4.8 out of a 5-point scale, and one making a very bold declaration of her being one of the best plumbers in the South District.
Mr. Wortman, this originally was filed as a pro se complaint.
Yes, it was.
When did she obtain counsel below?
I believe it was shortly after she had filed a pro se complaint, and then...
So the discovery was under the guidance of a counsel?
That's true, Your Honor. I believe most of the, if not all the depositions were completed by a licensed attorney in Illinois before this, or before the district court. Your Honor, just to wrap things up so I can save my remaining time for rebuttal, I do believe that these cases are highly, highly dependent upon the facts, and some of the facts may here be deficient, but we're not really dealing with a directed verdict situation here. I think if we look at this record and we examine the reasons that are stated, and again, we concede the city does not bear a burden of proof in this case, but they merely just simply relied on their McDonnell-Douglas burden of production. They announced why they didn't give her a job, and we came forward with what we believed to be sufficient evidence to raise questions of fact with regard to whether or not the real underlying motive made by the decisions made by these men in question were because of her sex. It goes without question the fact that she continued to seek employment opportunities, promotion opportunities, and her record is certainly, or her performance is certainly supported by the record.
Thank you, Mr. Wortman. Ms. Noreen?
May it please the court. When all the dust is settled in this case, Your Honors, Ms. Hall has not shown that she was denied a promotion because of her sex. She was not promoted because each of the ratings panels that interviewed her gave her lower ratings than the successful candidates. And Ms. Hall had the burden of showing that those ratings were a pretext, and she failed to meet that burden. Ms. Hall, in her brief, claimed is that there were several ways that she showed that the reasons given might have been pretext. She says that she was well qualified for promotion, but an employee's own assessment of his or her qualifications isn't sufficient to raise a question of fact in a discrimination case. And even if she had shown that the ratings were mistaken, that would not show that they were pretextual, because this court has repeatedly held that a plaintiff must show that an employer didn't honestly believe in the reasons. And Ms. Hall hasn't even shown that there was a mistake here. She, for example, relies upon a few months period of time when she was plumber in charge of a repair crew on a truck to argue that she had supervisory experience, but it is uncontroverted in this record that after a few months, she was removed from that assignment because her crew had unacceptably low productivity compared to other crews. That's certainly not an indication that she was entitled to or deserved a promotion. That some of the criteria on which the ratings are based are subjective is also insufficient to show discrimination. This court has repeatedly said employers are entitled to assess employees based on subjective criteria.
Well, are all the criteria here subjective?
Not at all, Your Honor. For example, she was, for one or more positions, she was found not to have the experience that was necessary for that position, and that is not subjective. And she has not come forward with evidence to show that she did have the experience or knowledge of the plumbing code, for example. That is not a subjective matter.
Who are the graders?
Well, there were different positions that Ms. Hall applied for, and I do want to point out that of the 19, a number of them were never filled, and they're not at issue here. And there were panels of supervisors depending upon the position for which she was interviewing. The positions were sometimes in different departments. In some cases, the interviewers were the same, and in some cases, they differed. I do also want to point out that at least for one position, the district foreman of water pipe construction, there were 37 applicants. Ms. Hall was the only female, and only one person was selected for that position.
How many openings were there?
Excuse me?
How many openings were there?
One.
Oh, well, then they could only select one.
Yes, that's right. But there were also a number of males who applied for that position who were not selected.
Okay.
Ms. Hall also relies on a stray comment made by a supervisor who was not on any of the panels that rated her for promotion. She claims that because General Superintendent Green had heard from Assistant Superintendent Barnes that she had trouble getting along with others, this court can infer discrimination because Superintendent Barnes had once called her a derogatory name, for which he was reprimanded. But there was no evidence linking Barnes' comment with Green's decision. And it was uncontroverted on this record that Superintendent Green had heard that Ms. Barnes had trouble getting along with others from others as well as from Barnes. And there were a number of reasons she didn't get a promotion to district foreman of water pipe construction, not the least of which the district foreman is a foreman over foreman, and she herself had never even been a foreman.
Do we have anything in the record to indicate whether the other three plumbers working for the female plumbers working for the city made similar attempts at promotion?
There's nothing in the record about their applications. One of them is a foreman, however, now, or at the time of discovery in this case. And, of course, there was extensive discovery in this case, and Ms. Hall had every opportunity to engage in discovery. She was represented by counsel at that time and could have found...
At the time, you say one of the four is at the time of discovery was a supervisor?
Yes.
A foreman?
Yes.
Did that person ever find her way onto a reviewing board for Ms. Hall?
Well, I believe she was a foreman in a different district, Your Honor.
I see.
So she would not have, because Ms. Hall applied for positions only in her district, I believe. At bottom, Your Honors, Ms. Hall's claim rests on the fact that she was the only female plumber in her district at one point in time, and that she was never promoted, although she bid on many promotions. And there are two problems with this. One is that it relies wholly on speculation to show that the reason she wasn't promoted was because of her sex. And second, any employee who is not the best candidate for promotion, who consistently applied for promotions, would consistently be rejected. This shows only that the panels that rated Ms. Hall consistently reached the same conclusion about her, that she was not a good candidate for promotion. That's not evidence of sex discrimination. Ms. Hall has failed to show that any of the decisions, or all of them together, were based upon sex.
Do all of the categories rate equally? Do we have any discovery indication of, I understand the scoring range of 1 to 5, but is there one category that trumps another in importance?
For each position, the record shows that for each position, the division of personnel within the department that has the opening determines what the categories are and what weight the ratings will be given. There's no evidence here that they were inconsistent within each position, but they're determined by Department of Personnel. Some of the categories do have higher ratings than others, and it depends on the position that's open and what's necessary to that position. But those criteria are set forth on the rating sheets that are given to the interviewers, who then follow their instructions. If there are no further questions, we ask that this court affirm the judgment of the district court.
Thank you, Marie. Mr. Wortman?
Very briefly, Your Honor, just in response to some of the points that were raised by counsel, or counsel makes the notation that this court, in essence, has determined that her own testimony is not enough to support her qualifications. I will point out that the city admitted in its 12M statement that Ms. Hall was qualified, and that's why she bid on the job. I don't know how much more she could, in fact, present in terms of discovery other than getting a supervisor who's employed by the city to come out and testify on her behalf. And you're not always going to have that in these Title VII cases. In some cases, you've got to rely on the plaintiff's testimony about her qualifications. Certainly, the city certainly did not offer any evidence to rebut Ms. Hall's characterization of what she, in fact, achieved, her accomplishments, her job duties, the fact that she had most experience in the commercial capacity during her private employment sector. That's unrebutted. And I would suggest, according to the summary judgment standards that this court employs, it is deemed to be true. Nobody can test the fact that her qualifications, as she described them, and as her paper supports, are in fact what they are. With regard to the 19 positions, counsel indicated that not all of them were filled. Well, we presented evidence that, in fact, two of the positions, or two people, Reggie Allen and a person by the name of Joe, who Ms. Hall did not know his last name, had in fact filled a plumbing position in the year in which the city had told her that they were not going to fill these positions. The city offered no documentation regarding Reggie Allen to rebut the fact that Ms. Hall said she's seen that he was employed to this plumbing inspector position. They have a personnel file. They could have presented it and said she's wrong. They did not. That stands unrebutted. With regard to the district foreman position, and the fact that counsel indicated that that's a foreman of a foreman, I will state that the city, Mr. Talley, Ms. Hall describes, is a caulker, and we describe the caulker as a person who's not even a licensed plumber. This is a person who held a position as an acting district foreman for well over a year without the position being put up for bid. This is in light of the fact that Ms. Hall had repeatedly requested an opportunity to be promoted. The city's implementations of who can or cannot be promoted appear to be manipulated, and I believe that the case law in describing pretext uses that term. It is a situation which can be readily manipulated. We're not asking the court to say that she was in fact and decide the case and say there's no doubt that she was discriminated on the basis of sex. What we're saying is that the rules with regard to employing summary judgment standards, we believe in this instance, disregarded the evidence that she had available for her. There are certainly enough questions that a jury could come back and reasonably say that her denial of these 19 positions was based on her sex, that men had the only opportunity in this district and with this city in this district to be promoted. We ask that Your Honor reverse the trial court's determination granting summary judgment on behalf of the city. Thank you,
Mr. Wardman. Thank you, Ms. Marine. The case will be taken under advisement. The court will